This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Last week, Silvio Berlusconi's publishing company, Mondadori, released the first issue of Il Mio Papa. It's a weekly magazine that, at first glance, looks like your typical gossip rag. Upon closer inspection, however, the bold headlines and glossy photos are not revealing the latest celebrity diet, but Pope Francis's latest homily. Yes, Il Mio Papa is all about the pontiff. Although a gossip magazine dedicated to the Pope may come as a surprise, the Catholic Church is no stranger to gossip, as evidenced by Whispers in the Loggia, a wildly popular blog that has been dishing the Catholic scoop for nearly a decade. Last week, the site had over 5 million visitors, and Rocco Palmo joins me to discuss papal mania and how he became the go-to guy for insider stories. Rocco, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Anytime, Virginia. Thank you.
For those who do not know the Catholic cosmology, what does Whispers in the Loggia mean?
Okay, well, the Vatican, the Apostolic Palace, you know, the building next to St. Peter's itself, date from the 15th, 16th century. These were the times when the church was the great patron of the arts. Of course, Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel. You have, you know, Raphael, Donatello, frescoes all over the place. And so they eventually, the popes ran out of rooms. So they eventually just sent the artists out and commissioned to paint the hallways. And those hallways are called the loggias. It's in English, it would be something like an arcade or a colonnade. In the loggia corridor of our seminary, it was there that I was told who would succeed my mentor and be the next Archbishop of Philadelphia 2 months before it was announced. And in the church, those things are held so tightly that if anyone who is officially informed of an appointment leaks it in advance, they're excommunicated. But that story of hearing the name here, you know, when I was in college 12 years ago, you know, just made me realize, well, this is how news happens. You know, we don't find out news on the cover of the newspaper. You find out in phone calls and, you know, walking along with folks at school or at the office.
Well, since you're keeping an ear to the shakeups going on in the Vatican, we'd love to know, what is the most recent scoop to come out of Rome?
Well, it's a very interesting time because, you know, obviously the Pope has absolute power in the life of the church. And so we've had several, you know, again, these shakeups. But it used to be that because Pope Benedict had worked in the Vatican for 23 years and had a very well-established team around him and worked within the existing Vatican structure. So you would get leaks all the time. With Francis, they were almost non-existent anymore because the Pope has his own parallel staff he's put into place. And the Vatican officials who used to decide things for Benedict or would help Benedict prepare documents and everything only know what happens now when they get the completed document from the Pope and are told to translate it hours before its release.
But he also said he wants to create a more transparent church. So is that what he's doing? He's letting people know before they have a chance to leak?
The transparency is going to be in terms of a new office, major office for the economy, which was founded last week, which is going to basically be an umbrella office for everything fiscal in the Vatican. And they're talking about even one unified financial statement for what until now has been 15 different financial entities. But he also wants a much more collaborative spirit of governance in the church, and not just among cardinals and bishops, but even including lay people. And only now has top officials begun to speak about openly, but for months it's been my understanding that you know, his reform of the Vatican offices, before it's complete within the next probably 2 years, I wouldn't be surprised if the ultimate glass ceiling were shattered and that a laywoman became head of the Vatican office, a position that until now has only been held by cardinals.
Wowie. Can we quote you on that one?
Yeah, well, I've been saying it for months, so it's and even now the Pope himself is talking about it in the papers. So I think you can quote me on it now.
Well, Rocco, you were just talking about, you know, how he wants to be a consensus builder, but you also said reform. You know, those things don't often go well together. You reported on a couple of swipes that he took at cardinals on Ash Wednesday. Not the way to build consensus.
Well, again, his consensus is coming from a different crowd in terms of reform of governance, in terms of having a greater lay presence in the life of the church. You know, these calls for reform are very prevalent, but in that caste system, if you will, that's existed in Rome for the last 30, 40 years, mostly dominated by Italians who have brought their own financial interests and financial mismanagement, to be honest, to the table in the Vatican. basically he's trying to nudge them over to the side. And this White Film Ash Wednesday was extraordinary. It was unscripted in his homily, the text of which was already prepared and had been translated. But he started talking in this little world of ours. He said, I see these daily power struggles for positions. And they, and the Cardinals were all sitting around him as he was saying this, and you know, the cameras are there and all. And he said, and I keep thinking to myself that these people, meaning these Cardinals, these aides, are trying to play God. And he said, and they still don't realize that they aren't God. And he used that in the context of Lent for all of us, is remembering that God is God and we are just his creatures.
Well, we're talking to a Vatican insider, somebody you might imagine as an old shadowy figure in a cloak, but instead we're talking to a young American guy, 31-year-old Rocco Palmo. He's author of a blog called Whispers in the Loggia. But your site reveals to us that Vatican insiders like to gossip with the best of us.
They do, but, you know, at the same time, this isn't the Kardashians, you know. Well, if anything, the clothing can even be a lot better than the Kardashians. But you know, I mean, you have to distinguish, you know, that sense of these kind of these whispers in the loggia. This is how news begins. You know, it's very tightly held. But this is policy stuff. You know, I mean, Francis, if anything, has been an enemy of gossip in terms of that kind of trying to discredit people. That's how in the church we define gossip. Gossip is sinful. It's not something I do. But, you know, I mean, there's a reason why things like the Thornbirds, the Borgias, even the Da Vinci Code have become such huge, you know, the world has been fascinated by the Catholic Church, and it should be. It's a fascinating beat. It's the oldest institution in the world.
But the Catholic Church is an infamously impenetrable organization, and I was reading up on you in the Washington Post and other newspapers that talked about what incredible sources you had. How did you manage to gain access to the inside?
It's a bunch of things, you know. Coming from a place like Philadelphia, like Boston, especially in these northeastern environments, had such a deep Catholic ethos. A Catholic culture. So, but especially in a place like Philly, there had been long ties to Rome. There's a history of cardinals here in this city. And growing up, I got to know the cardinal here in Philadelphia, a guy named Anthony Bevilacqua. I was fascinated with the church, and he just answered all my dumb questions and showed me the ropes, expecting that I would become a priest. Well, I let him down on that, but something else sat. And I thought to myself, okay, so I'm not going to be a priest. What am I going to do with all this trivia I know and all these contacts? But I found my love was in journalism, was in the press. My father worked for the newspapers here for 30 years. And so I just, from those years with the cardinal and from studying the Holy See in college, geopolitically, I just had a lot of friends in a lot of different places, priests, bishops, whatever. And so it's just kind of snowballed since. And there are new sources, new friends, new places to look into and brush up on.
You mentioned a man that you write about in your blog and acknowledge as a mentor, Anthony Bevilacqua, the Cardinal of Philadelphia, who died before the trial began investigating child sex abuse complaints lodged against dozens of priests in his own archdiocese. So that, of course, we can't talk about the Catholic Church without talking about the sex abuse scandal that has plagued it for the past 10 or 15 years. I'm wondering if you've been ever asked not to print or to retract a story or been dissuaded from printing a story that deals with the sex abuse scandal and other problems within the church.
I've never been pressured on a story that had to do with sex abuse. You know, if anything, especially the current generation of leadership knows the failures of the past, knows that in some dioceses, failures continue even now. And that the church has to be completely honest about its failures and has to be, you know, transparent about it, but also has to be not just committed, but bullish, driven to make sure it doesn't happen again. If the church doesn't have its house in order on abuse, then you can forget about people listening on anything else or any moral credibility on anything else. Now, I have to say, too, when it comes to Bevilacqua, he was very good to me, taught me so much, and I owe so much to him, but, you know, I can't overlook his failure. I can't whitewash that. You know, he made some abhorrent decisions that have caused suffering, that continue causing suffering in the lives of victims, their parents, their families, this whole diocese. And it's tough when you're in that, you know, in the position of having to write about, but saying this is someone who was so good to me and who made decisions that were just so horrible for other people. And if anything, it really hit home in 2011 when the second grand jury on the diocese, on this archdiocese, was released, which charged one of Bevilacqua's aides with a cover-up. And especially coming from the history I come from, I just feel an ever greater obligation to, hold the church's feet to the fire on this and help them be accountable. But the thing is, in terms of my funding structure, I live by reader donations. I don't have advertising. I'm not, a propagandist. I'm not funded by any official church entity. There are times when I'm asked, to hold a story or to not do a story. But, basically my independence is not having to rely on church organs for funding. If anything, I will not accept donations from the American bishops so that they can't editorially interfere with my coverage.
Rocco Palmo, author of the Whispers in the Loggia blog, thank you so much for opening the Vatican vault for us.
Anytime, Virginia. Anytime, anytime you want more from the vault, just give me a shout. Call in.
Rocco Palmo is Catholic commentator and founder of Whispers in the Loggia blog. We have a link to read it yourself at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you do like what you heard, there is much more to listen to at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us and send us your feedback or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. Earlier in the show, we heard a debate over what should be on the required reading list for high school English classes. We'd love to hear what you think. Do the classics like Beowulf or Ethan Frome or The Scarlet Letter scare kids off from reading? Is there a case to be made to include more contemporary nonfiction books? Should we meet kids where they are and include The Hunger Games? You can join the conversation in progress on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. And unlike in high school, you can actually have this debate. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more Word of Mouth tomorrow at 2, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio and online anytime at wordofmouthradio.org.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Zach Nugent,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcasts and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
And check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Thank you.